Good afternoon. Calling the meeting of June 23, 2025 of the Planning Commission. And we have one more commissioner is going to be arriving, but we'll start up right now just with our beginning items. And the first item will be the roll call.
Good afternoon, commissioners. Commissioner Billy.
Here.
Commissioner Curran. Commissioner Lind. Commissioner Monroe. Commissioner Murayes.
Here.
Commissioner Sandoval.
Here.
Commissioner Lind.
Here. You can use this.
I'm here.
You're noted.
And Commissioner Stepanicic.
I'm here. All right. Thank you, everybody.
Closures on.
I can understand that. Not a problem. We'll just be starting up. So the next item would be the minutes of May 29, 2025. Is there a motion to approve?
So move.
Motion by Bile. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Sandoval. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passed. Minutes are adopted. Do you have any communications from the commission today? If not, we'll go to the director's report.
Good afternoon, commissioners. It will be brief today. The upcoming items, which I presented a few weeks ago, have not been changed. So we have a continued hearing this afternoon, as you're all aware. The next hearing after that will be Thursday, July 10th. We do not have any items for that hearing yet. We'll let you know as soon as we do if anything gets scheduled. Otherwise, we'll be canceling that that hearing. July 21st, we have an informational item, and that is a presentation on state housing law by County Council. Brandon's going to be providing kind of an overview of state housing law. And as you know, we also do an overview of changes to the state housing law every year internally, and we normally do that in September. So we'll think of this as providing that good baseline in July, and then probably updating you again with the changes to state law in September. And so we haven't scheduled that yet, but that's what we anticipate right now. August 4th, we also don't have anything currently scheduled. And August 18th, we don't have anything currently scheduled. In terms of the board calendar, we have not received appeals of your commission's decisions on applications, including 150 Shoreline. So that's good news. And the Stinson Arc, I'm not sure if you're familiar with this, but this is the sea level rise study for Stinson Beach. That has now been released within the past couple of weeks, and there was a public meeting, kind of a public release on that fairly recently. And that is currently scheduled to go to the board on August 19th. And we will be collecting public comments on that, taking it to the board. And my hope is that once we've taken it to the board, we will come back at a later date, probably find a date when there's going to be a hearing on some other item, and then present it to your commission as well. It's an interesting study. So that's all I've got for this summer.
Okay. Thank you very much, Jeremy. At this time would be the time for open time for items not on the agenda. So anyone wants to speak on an item not on the agenda, this is your time to come before us. If there are none, then we'll move to our item for today. And this is the only item on the agenda today. It is a continued hearing on 1501 Lucas Valley Road. A staff contact is Manny Bearcat, and staff ready for the presentation.
Yes, Manny's here again to give you a brief overview following up from our consultations with the County Council's office regarding this application and our previous recommendation for summary denial. I think staff from the Department of Public Works and County Council staff here as well, if you have questions. Manny doesn't have a PowerPoint presentation, didn't seem like that was called for. But Manny, maybe you can just take through the changes in our recommendation.
Sure. Good afternoon, commissioners and members of the public. and as the commission may recall, we continued item from the last Planning Commission hearing in response to a memorandum we received from the applicant's attorney the night before the meeting. The County Council and the staff had the opportunity to review the letter that we received, and we are now recommending our requirements that it be that it, we are amending our recommendation that rather than denying the application, that it goes to environmental review so we could do further analysis. We can review the project in its entirety. The basis for changing our recommendation is that the applicants have submitted a set of revised waivers from the grading standards. And we've been advised that they can do so even later in at this late stage in the process, because we don't have anything in the county code that says you must submit by such and such dates. And as such, that we are amending our recommendation in response to the applicant's letter. One thing I want to point out too is that we've given you a supplemental memorandum, and the applicants continue to raise that they were not notified of the county's grading standards. We disagree. We've notified them from day one. Most recently, on March 24th, I think, there is a memorandum that details how the project does not comply with different county codes, including but not limited to grading standards. The record establishes, to my mind and to our view, that they've been notified throughout the review process and that we have not withheld or withhold any information from the applicants. In terms of the content of the actual letter itself, I'll defer to Brandon to answer the legal issues.
Brandon, do you want to address any issues right now from the legal side?
Thank you, Commissioners. Brandon Halter, Chief Deputy County Counsel. I don't think I have anything to add right up front to Manny's presentation. I reviewed the staff letter, and I'm happy to answer anything specifically from the Commission.
I think an important point here, just to reiterate in the record, is that the applicant did get actual notice of the grading standard noncompliance, likewise with the roadway noncompliance. Thank you. All right. Any other questions by Commissioners or staff? Commissioner Lynn.
This is a procedural question, or perhaps it's a legal question. I'm not sure which, but your recommendation to review the application as a whole, is that limited to the tentative map, or does that also open the door for reconsideration of the housing compliance analysis based on the request for the new waivers and concessions?
It's limited to the subdivision application. The HCR is approved and it's that's done.
Okay, thanks for that clarification. So that would mean then that the discussion about waivers and concessions as it's affected by state law would be limited to the tentative map.
Correct.
Yeah, just a point of clarification. The fact that the county deemed the application complete does not remove its objection to the grading standards. So the county notified the applicant that it did not meet the grading standards, correct?
That is correct.
Right. So that is not negated by the fact that the application was deemed complete.
Does not. So the application, we deemed the application complete rather than issuing another letter of incompleteness. We reviewed it for the last 2 years and a half for five rounds.
Right.
The same issues continue to be raised. So there was no point of deeming it incomplete one more time. Rather than deeming it incomplete, we decided to issue a letter that includes, among other things, substantial modifications to conform with different county codes.
Mm-hmm.
And their original list of waivers and concessions, they did not include the grading issues. They have a list of grade. Now it's been modified to include those things. We're not conceding or disagreeing that they're entitled to them, mm-hmm. but we are recognizing they have submitted the list of modified waivers that include concessions or waivers including that could affect the grading. We take no position on the issues, the merits of themselves. We want to review them through environmental review process.
Okay. Can you confirm that?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Okay.
A determination that the application is complete does not represent a decision to approve or deny the project.
If I could also add one more thing. Just to be clear, we are recommending that it goes to environmental review process. We're not making any decisions to approve or disapprove the project.
Understood. Thank you.
So just procedurally, what will be happening then, if the commission agrees with staff recommendation, and then there will be a determination as to what the level of environmental review should be. After that is complete, whatever it is, at that point in time, when the project comes back to us on the merits, then staff would address to us the waivers and concessions that have been asked for now as part of the subdivision map.
At the very high level, that would be the procedure, yes. Correct?
Right.
So then from a procedural perspective, we are not talking about the merits of the project today.
We are not.
Thank you
for clarification. Any other questions?
Yes. So is the scope already determined, like the scope of this additional review? Is it limited to grading or is it broader than that?
Through the environmental review process, we're going to review the subdivision application. And I don't know what level of environmental review process will be required. That is a decision that needs to be made by the environmental coordinator, whose decision is appealable to the Planning Commission.
So to clarify that, that would include the street configuration as well as the lot creation?
The subdivision in its entirety.
Yes.
Very good. Any other questions? If not, it's time to hear from the public and to start the public hearing. Before we do that, we have a number of people here, which is great today. Just wanted to see if I have a raise of hands to see how many people plan to speak this afternoon. Okay. Yeah, I think, at this point, we have 2 minutes noted, but it's not a super large number of speakers. I would suggest we go with 3 minutes for today's meeting.
That's fine. Does the applicant get up?
And they have 10 minutes.
Yes.
The applicant gets 10 minutes. So, okay, so we'll go that way. So we'll start with the applicant, and the applicant has 10 minutes to speak, either with one or more speakers during that 10-minute allotment.
Mic is not on.
Try that again. Good afternoon, commissioners. Thank you for the time. My name is Steve Riley with 330 Land. I'm the applicant, and I'd like to appreciate staff's taking under consideration the latest letter from our attorney and changing the recommendation. We don't really have a presentation or anything to say here, so I'm more than happy to answer any questions, and we look forward to coming back after the CEQA review is done for the project approval.
Questions of the applicant? If not, thank you, Mr. Riley.
Thank you.
Hey, at this point, then, we'll go to 3 minutes for each speaker. And, we still have a number of speakers today, so just to keep things moving along, if people can line up behind each other, or maybe 4 or 5 people at a time, that would be terrific. And everyone can go in any order. So who would ever like to speak, please come forward. Yeah.
You've been voluntold.
And if everyone can please give their name for the record when they speak, that'd be great.
Good afternoon, Neil Sorensen. I live in Lucas Valley, about a mile east of the project in what's called Lucas Valley Estates, and it was the last big development, I think, to happen out there. I think when this goes to environmental review, I think it's pretty clear that it's not going to be exempt. It's going to require an initial study and either a negative declaration or an environmental impact report. And I think you're going to hear today and also from reviewing the record that it's clear that an environmental impact report will be required in this case. One issue that I think will stand out is the issue of fire protection. This property is not in the Marinwood Community Services District, so it's not in the district that the local fire department that's just down the road, probably 2 miles away, serves. This property is in the county area, and the closest county fire station is, I believe, 14 miles away, and it would take 25 minutes for that fire engine to get there. So I think that the EIR needs to study that issue, and I think it will conclude that the only reasonable solution from a fire safety, public safety standpoint is that the property should annex to the Marinwood Community Services District, which is actually what Lucas Valley Estates was required to do when it developed in the early 1980s. It was the exact same situation, a vacant piece of land. It was subdivided into, Irv Schwartz tells me, 177 lots. And one of the requirements was that it annexed to Marinwood, both for fire and for park and recreation. Marinwood also has two parks in the area that they maintain. And actually, we all in that area pay an extra fire tax on top of our property taxes, and we pay an extra park and recreation tax. So if this development is going to go forward, it really needs to, from an equitable standpoint and from a public safety standpoint, be part of Marinwood. Thank you.
Hi there.
Hello.
I am Michael Spalding, and my wife, Karen, and I live at 38 Mount Muir Court, and I wanted to touch on something that doesn't seem to have been really a focus of discussion or review and analysis. It's been de-emphasized, and that's the road widening that's proposed as a part of this project. And there was and I went back and did some digging. There was a transportation impact study. And one of the things that I noted in the transportation impact study is that the driveway for access to Lucas Valley Road, per the original plans that were relied on for the transportation impact study, is offset from Mount Muir Court. So there's completely different reconfiguration on the current plans as there was at the time the transportation impact study was done. And then the second thing about the transportation impact study is that it said that no road widening would be required. Yet the current plans contemplate road wiring in order to make a left turn lane for the benefit of the development, and not to have the road widening take place on the same side of the street as the development, but rather on the side of the street where Lucas Valley homeowners currently in Mount Muir Court backs up to. And there, it looks like it will, the gap between the street and the backs fences of the property will be diminished by about 12 feet, raises questions about what happens to the redwood trees. There's safety concerns about, currently there's a little bit of a safe space so you can pull right, so when you've got people that are, right on your tail going 45 miles an hour on Lucas Valley Road, you can get out of their way, and that would be eliminated. And it's a real concern because if you create this lane, then you have this devil in the deep blue sea issue of, do I, zoom into the court, and then I worry about the folks that are, within the court, and am I coming in too strong? There may be an Amazon truck that's parked right at the corner I'm going to run into. So there's that safety issue. There's been the left turning out of Lucas Valley Road. There's a concern there that you've got, these human factors and the time element, because it takes at 50 miles an hour, 3.5 seconds, I think, of sight line distance. So you'll need to go further. And the way that they are currently configuring it, you've got this human factors thing of like, I thought you were going to stop. I thought you were going to stop, which creates a real hazard. So I think that needs to be reviewed. There's nothing in the current plans that calls for any attention to pedestrian safety. You got 175 housing bedrooms called for, 97 parking spaces, And undoubtedly, there's going to be all kinds of kids that, and so, you know, there's that. There's the
Mr. Spalding, we're past the 3 minutes, so I'm going to
Wrap
up. No, not a problem.
Yeah, as I told the Court of Appeal once, I have 30 minutes worth of talk and 15.
We also received your letter, so we have that that also. Next speaker.
Oh, thanks for the opportunity to speak again. My name is Rob Schofield. I also live on Mount Muir Court, right across the road from the proposed development. By profession, I'm a toxicologist and human health risk assessor, and I have worked for many developers to help them come up with the cleanup plans when they're developing brownfield sites, and I've worked on many development sites to help them evaluate and mitigate the risks from diesel exhaust, from the grading of the site, and from dust emissions from the grading of the site. So the reason I say that is I definitely do not bring a NIMBY bias to this project, to my evaluation of this project. And I understand and appreciate the severe shortage of housing we have in Marin County and support the need to develop more housing. But a housing shortage does not mean that every proposed project should be approved. And for the reasons that you'll hear today and that we're all putting in letters to send to you, I believe that the proposed 1501 Lucas Valley project is ill-conceived and should not be approved for a variety of reasons that you're here. But my goal today is not to itemize those reasons. My objective is to let you know that I've had discussions, excuse me, with many people in the community who share my concern that, we have a housing shortage, and who've said, but I fear that we're just engaging, indulging ourselves in NIMBYism, and there's a self-consciousness about that. All right, so then after they learn more about the project, though, they realize that there's an extraordinarily large cut and fill in this, and then they realize, okay, this is my concerns are beyond NIMBYism. These are very real, concrete concerns. Same thing when they learn there's 20 deviations from the county code that are going to affect those of us who live in the vicinity, realize, okay, this is not simple NIMBYism. These are real, valid concerns that we have. So my request today is for the people proposing this project and the people evaluating approval of this project is to consider the sincerity and the technical merits of our concerns and not dismiss our concerns as thoughtless NIMBYism. Thank you very much.
Next speaker.
Commissioners, I'm Irving Schwartz. I've lived in Marinwood Community Services District for almost 60 years, which is hard to believe. Currently, I live at on Bridgegate Drive with my wife in Lucas Valley Estates. But I have some interesting other background relative to this. I'm the author of Marin County Code Title 24, the development standards. And those standards were developed purely for public safety. Originally, the Planning Commission said, we've got to change the road standards to lower them, to make the streets narrower, to make the streets less expensive when developers propose a subdivision so that the housing will be more affordable. And my comment as a public works engineer at the time was, shouldn't less fortunate, less rich people have the same amount of public safety as those that are rich and can afford a more expensive house? In any event, we changed the development standards. We did narrow the roads. We worked closely with fire agencies, the Planning Commission, the Board of Supervisors, and came up with the standards that you now see in your code. And this development is proposing a number of deviations from that code, namely reduction of street width, and also importantly, reduction in the length of the driveway between the street and the garage door. That minimum driveway length was set up so that a car could park in the driveway without hanging out into the street. It provided a lot of off-street parking that way. I hope that in the consideration of the an environmental impact report that the development standards relative to street width and driveway length are considered, because I think the new residents of this subdivision, if and when approved, have the right to have the level of public safety that the rest of us have in this area. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Louise Gaston. I live in Lucas Valley next to the soccer field of the school. I attended the meeting last week, and I learned about the project and its details. And I follow this gentleman because my concern is regarding the exceptionally narrow width of the streets within the project. It's kind of mind-boggling because there's not enough parking space within the houses in the garage. A lot of cars will be parked in the one-way streets within the project. The streets will be filled with cars. Where will people, I know it's a funny item, but where will people put their garbage bins? And how will the garbage truck collector, which is big, will be able to come in and collect those things? I mean, and how about the fire trucks? Firemen may refuse to go into this place if there's a big fire, because they may feel that they will be trapped, and they could well be trapped. There's no place for the huge engine to turn the corners and so on and so forth. When you look at the map, it's really mind-boggling. So to me, this project does not respect 20 regulations of Marin County, as I've heard. It does not respect the future residents. I'd love my two adult children to be able to buy in Lucas Valley, but not in a project like that. They would be in danger, in my book. So, and there's a lack of respect for the residents, the actual residents, giving the shaving of the hill. There will be, I heard, 13,000 truckloads of minerals driving back and forth on Lucas Valley. Marin County will have to redo the whole Lucas Valley road afterwards. Thank you so much.
Next speaker.
Hello, my name is Bruce Roberts. I live in Lucas Valley as well, in the upper Lucas Valley area. I've lived there 31 years and have seen, quite frankly, very little change in Lucas Valley in that time. I love the community because of what it is, the aesthetic of that community, and I feel that this project would violate that aesthetic. It would be so radically different from what the rest of the valley is. Now, I also appreciate that, yes, we have to create housing. As someone earlier said, it has to be the right circumstances, and I feel this is not. The main subject I want to bring up today is about Lucas Valley Road itself, and that is that in my 31 years, I have seen the sort of repairs done to Lucas Valley Road, which are, quite frankly, a minimal amount. That is, they sandblast the cracks, they fill it with tar, and they put a thin top coat on the road. That has happened 3 times in 31 years. There has been no dredging or grinding of the asphalt and putting down a thicker layer. And so underneath the road where you see on top, there are many cracks. It is structurally, I believe, unsound, and if you have 13,000 dump trucks taking heavy loads out, my fear is that the road will be severely damaged. And if that happens, who will pay for that? I believe, at the very least, you need to look into what will happen to this road before you accept or decline this project. Thank you.
Next speaker.
Good afternoon. My name is Lisa Cellino, and I live in Lucas Valley. And I wanted to applaud the developers for putting together a project which puts a lot of housing in a very small space. And I think that's great. But just not on this steep hillside. I think there'll be a lot of cut and fill. People have talked about the 13,000 trucks. That's 360 truckloads per household, 360 trucks of dirt per household that needs to go out the door. Just from a blink test, this just doesn't seem right. I also think that there's a high probability of mudslides. There's a lot of hardscaping in this plan. There's roofs and pavement, et cetera, with very little water absorption capability around the houses. So you've got a lot of water that needs to go downhill, presumably. And from what I understand, the hillsides and the drainage has been designed for a 10-year flood. Well, if that's so, that just doesn't seem right. First of all, it should be designed for a 100-year flood. And second of all, we've got climate change. We're going to have way more severe storms than we've had in the past. So we need to over-engineer this project. And then lastly, I want to relay a story from a community that I come from, and that is I lived in an area where a gentleman was developing the property. He wanted to grade it so that he had flatter land around his house. The town, in this case, denied his permit. He sued them, and so they bent over backwards and eventually approved it. Then the rains came for the winter, and there was a huge mudslide that came across the street and into two other houses, and he ended up suing the town for approving his permit. So there you have it. So good luck, and as I said, I think this is a great project for a flat piece of land. Thank you.
Next speaker.
Thank you for the opportunity to express my strong opposition to development of 1501 Lucas Valley Road. This project clearly threatens the health of people and ecosystems. Please do not permit this subdivision project to move forward.
And your name for the record, please.
Judy Rogers.
All right, any more speakers today?
My name's Tiana Gregorina. I've been living in Lucas Valley for 23 years. I want more housing in Marin. I actually have a disabled child who is 27, and we have had to go to the building of an ADU in our backyard because at first there was a 7-year wait, and you couldn't get on the waiting list for Section 8, which she is eligible for. And now the wait is over 20 years, and they will not even put you on a waiting list at all. There just isn't any housing. I do understand that completely. But putting this housing thing there on a bunch of fill just seems absolutely absurd. For our little 482-square-foot ADU, we had to spend an extra $50,000 just to back it into the hill in the backyard, and we have had to jump through every hoop there was to meet all the regulations that there are. And I don't understand why this other development of 36 homes is even being contemplated without having to meet all these same standards that were put in for health safety reasons. Another huge thing that I am very concerned about is fire. I was a block captain for the fire stuff, and I have had to participate in these evacuations, and it took me over an hour and 15 minutes to get from my house all the way down to Kaiser. And I can't understand how we're going to add more homes and we're going to end up with a paradise on our hands where people are just going to burn up in their cars. I just don't get it. We need housing, but it needs to be close to 101. It needs to be on regular places where people can actually get out in a fire, or they aren't going to be in fire danger to begin with. So that's my two cents.
Right. Thank you very much.
My name is Diane Tompkins. I live at 1601 Lucas Valley. So I share the other side of the hill with the development. And I just want to speak to fire also. We've had our insurance canceled twice in 4 years, literally the same hill, right? So I'm really concerned that these won't be insurable. and that the vulnerability that creates is not good for the community. We've had a fire get started by a lawnmower. It just happens. We're just increasing the likelihood that that could happen. And I'm really concerned that the Nunez Fire Road, as I understand it, is slated to be closed and not recreated. And I think that's a really important access point for a big part of that south side of Lucas Valley. On the flooding topic, we have flooding every year, significant flooding that comes into the bowl of our property, and that's all been bermed, and it's got soil to absorb that. So I echo the points about all the hardscaping, making that much more vulnerable to flooding for the road, for the rest of the community. Thank you.
Thank you, supervisors, for the opportunity to speak today and give you feedback about this development. My name is Margaret Now, and I am a resident of Upper Lucas Valley in the Eichler community. I've also been on our Homeowners Association of 538 Homes on their board for 4 years, including several committees, which include the Zoning Committee as well. I am definitely pro-housing. I am currently working on projects to help people put ADUs in their property. I'm building an ADU myself. I built one down on Lucas Valley Road, including several JADUs. So I'm very aware of the need for housing. My preference, of course, is to have suburban infill, not to do high-density projects on semi-rural land that may or may not be suitable for that kind of density, given like fire and water restrictions. I've also been aware of the laws, the state laws governing a lot of these increased development, specifically relating to ADUs, but also to just general development. And I realize that in many cases, your hands are tied on what you can disallow in certain communities. And I acknowledge that. My understanding with the law is that fire is a big issue. So if there's any way of leveraging the current state law, it would be using the fire tool. And thinking about this development, it is very dense. I have a teenager that's walked to school to San Domenico every year for the last couple years, and now an ecology major. When I told him about coming to this meeting, he said, "I don't know if I would be able to help you, Mom, because I'm really for high density development. But with services, you know, with buses, the kids want to have no cars, buses, bikes, that kind of thing." I said, "Charlie, there's other things relating to this as well. And a lot of it is what some of my other people that live on Lucas Valley Road that I know quite well, the Paradise Fire, egress, getting out of these areas where there is fire. This is a two-lane road. Usually people are going 45 miles an hour, sometimes higher. We have actually, before I came here, I talked to Kelby Jones, who is our disaster committee chairperson, because in October of 2023, he conducted, with the help of the sheriff's office here, a drill, an evacuation drill, leading from mainly Mount Lassen, but for all the surrounding communities. We're 538 homes. There's about 1,100 houses in our area, so you know, lower Lucas Valley, we've got Rotary Village with senior housing. A lot of those people are disabled in wheelchairs. How do you get those people out? There's 80 units there. So about 1,100 people. He had about 200 vehicles. So each house, you can imagine, may have 2 to 3 vehicles or 1 to 3 vehicles. So you can imagine that multiplier. If you've got 1,100 homes, maybe you have 2,000 automobiles currently that would seek egress in during a fire.
I need to ask you to wrap up your comments for past the 3 minutes.
Sure. I just want to say, so he had 22%. What he projected is 22% involvement, 45 minutes from Mount Lassen to Los Galmos. This is something we have to keep in our mind about how people are going to get out of this area. It's super critical. It's noted in the law as well. And I would really encourage you to work with the fire department about this.
Very much. Any more speakers? Yes, please come forward.
Hello. My name is Jessica Freilich. I live at 86 Mount Muir Court. I didn't come with any prepared remarks. However, I'm very concerned about this housing development. I am actually for housing, more housing in Marin County, so that our children and grandchildren can afford to live here. But I think that the housing has to go with the appropriate infrastructure and in the appropriate places. For example, Northgate is an ideal place to build housing. My concerns about this development are twofold. First of all, I live on Mount Muir Court. In my backyard is a fence, and on the other side of the fence is Lucas Valley Road. So while all this earth is being moved in dump trucks for however long it takes, I absolutely will not be able to be outside in my backyard. I probably won't even be able to be inside with the windows open because of all the noise and the dust. I'm also against this development because of all the traffic. When I go out to the freeway, I have to make a left turn out of Mount Muir Court. This can be a little bit difficult, especially with sort of a blind spot that we have. Even under today's circumstances, but with the whole development, it's going to be crazy. Also, all the fire implications and kids going to school that I'm sure people have talked about. And I just want to wrap up by saying I am pro-housing. So if you could magically drop this development on the hillside with none of these implications, I would say, sure, it's postage stamp land, ugly houses. I don't have to live there. So more power to the developer if they can sell those houses. I'd also say, I would rather see a pristine hillside outside of my living room window than a housing development. But my need to see pristine hills does not compare to the need for this county to build more housing. So I would just bite the bullet, and I'll get used to seeing the houses on the hills. But this development there's just too many awful things that will happen while it's being built and after it's being built. And so I have to strongly object to this development. Thank you a lot for your time.
Thank you. Any more persons want to testify today? If not, we'll close the public hearing. Thank you, everyone, for appearing today and sharing your thoughts on this project. And I'll be back to the commission at this point in time. Since I represent District 1, I'll take the prerogative of starting off, and I look forward to everyone's comments on this item today. I do concur with the staff recommendation to require an environmental review of the project and to refer it over to the environmental coordinator for her initial determination as to the level of review that's required. I just wanted to very briefly just share what some of my concerns are on the environmental side, the areas I think do need to be studied based on reviewing the application, all the other materials we have received here. And number one is grading. I think the amount of grading here is far beyond what we would normally see. And it's really the cut and fill, and the fact it's not balanced at all. And I was a land use lawyer and city attorney for 45 years, and I saw the changes and approaches to grading on development projects, and it became just routine that projects would be balanced or near balanced, rather than having such a discrepancy between the amount of cut and fill as the case here. And then in terms of the preferred alternative compared, which has less grading, but it gets there by creating very large retaining walls. And likewise, haven't seen walls like this done in our area in Marin, where it's not just 10-foot retaining walls or 15-foot retaining walls, they're retaining walls upon retaining walls. So in fact, at the back of the property, it would be retaining walls, a series of retaining walls that create a retaining wall ultimately of over 50 feet. And again, that is something compared to the legacy project that the commission approved. That was a project with a good deal of grading, but the retaining walls were done at a much lower level. And the grading was done to conform the project to the hillside. So the streets actually curve with the hillside. There's not just a flat pad to accommodate with straight streets. the entire project. So that's probably my biggest area of concern, but not the only one. I think the traffic safety issue, I think, is significant here. And it's just, from the beginning, just trying to figure out the intersection of Mount Muir Court with how the road, access road for this development, which would, then it goes up to a very steep pad, would be accommodated. So again, that's an issue of a review of the traffic safety and what measures would need to be done to make that a safe place. It'd be not only for cars, but also for pedestrians that could be crossing the roadway there, especially with children in a development, and also cyclists. And again, it is not the safest place at some of the intersections on Lucas Valley Road for cyclists. And that'd be also an issue, just making sure line of sight is adequate. And again, I imagine that all could be addressed, but again, I think that's something that needs to be studied. The substandard roadways and the development, definitely a big concern for fire safety and how fire trucks would maneuver within the development in cases of an emergency is definitely a safety concern. And I would also add on drainage, just looking into the record here, there was several references on the staff review that there were drainage culverts that were less than standard. And that's a particular concern in Lucas Valley, which has steep hillsides. And I can say from my own property, I'm down Lucas Valley Estates, down towards the end of the development. We had extensive drainage put in by the original builders of our house. We've had to add to that drainage over time because of the existing drainage not accommodating the water runoff on the property. And now we have a sump pump under our house. So again, I think that the issue of drainage with the hills is something that does need to be very carefully studied. And I think any undersizing to me seems of tremendous concern. If anything, there's a need for more than typical type of drainage improvements. And lastly, I think impact on vegetation with especially the back of the property going up the hillside. I'm looking at the plans under either development scenario. There is those trees are all taken out. And so what we have right now is a lot of natural vegetation. And beyond the development, as far as I can tell, those trees are removed. Now, there are replacement trees called for. But again, I think this is a sensitive issue, just again, to be studied as to how mitigation would take place to accommodate the loss of vegetation on the property. So again, that's don't mean to be come up with an all-inclusive list here, but these were the issues of a particular concern of mine in reviewing the project. I definitely look forward to seeing the environmental review. So we have really enough information to properly evaluate the project when it comes to us on the merits. What's next? Commissioner Beley.
So I agree 100% with Commissioner Stepanicic on his review of the merits and what needs to be looked at specifically in the environmental review and going forward. I just want to comment procedurally that, you know, we've now received two last-minute letters the night before the hearing, and this seems to be somewhat of a problem, not just by the applicant today, but we've seen it, you know, in the last year or two more and more. And what it does is it wastes our time, and it especially wastes the community's time who have to come to multiple meetings only to be told procedurally that it's getting kicked down the kicking the can down the road. Yes. You know, and today another legal letter that we got this morning, and you know, the applicants are basically saying, okay, we're looking forward to environmental review. Like, it's very, very frustrating. And when there's this back and forth between applicant and staff about what actually happened versus what didn't happen, it's just, I feel like we're sort of the mouse being played, you know, by the cat. And I really, look at all the people here. Thank you so much for showing up and for caring for your community and for making comments both for and against. And it's just too bad that you've had to come here now twice and make multiple comments, and we're probably going to kick the can down the road one more time. So, thank you.
More comments.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to add, I really appreciate the public's coming, showing up, talking about the concerns, very legitimate concerns that we've heard today that I share about things like cutting into the hillside, street widths, drainage concerns. I think Mr. Schwartz said it well. I do believe, you know, everyone's entitled to public safety and not compromised safety because they happen to live in a place with affordable housing. So I'd like to keep that in mind and just highlight that. And then without, you know, getting into the merits of 1501, I just want to say I do support the staff's recommendation to undergo further holistic review of the subdivision application for those reasons. Thanks.
Yeah, I look forward to the environmental review. I'm concerned about the grading and the amount of grading that needs to happen or that it's being proposed for the project, but most importantly, the public safety in regards to traffic, infrastructure, and fire. I think those need to be addressed in its priority. So.
Thank you. Commissioner.
Yeah, I don't have any further comments. I agree with my colleagues on the commission and look forward to the next step.
Right. You sure can.
Sorry. The one thing that I kept thinking about today was, darn, I wish Don Dickinson were still here, because I'm sure he was here when the subdivision map came up for Lucas Valley Estates. And I wonder what the public comment was for that. When, how many units are there in Lucas Valley Estates?
Good question.
Thank you. Yeah. I figured somebody here, I knew somebody would know. 177.
It's probably in the public record.
Yeah, 177 new units at the end of Lucas Valley Road back in the 80s. I'm sure people were not particularly psyched about that development either. Anyway, just throw that out there for some context.
All right. Is there a motion to be entertained here?
I move that we approve staff's recommendation and continue with the environmental report as per Rachel's recommendation.
I'll second that motion.
All right. So it was a motion by Beale, second by Morales. We have roll call. Sorry.
Commissioner Beale?
Yes.
Commissioner Lind?
Yes.
Commissioner Moraes?
Yes.
Commissioner Sandoval?
Yes.
And Commissioner Stepanicic?
Yes. All right, that takes care of business today. Again, thanks everyone for attending our meeting today, and the meeting is adjourned.